Melbourne's mean streets.
You could say this was the murder we missed.
A story you'll have to hear to believe.
He said he was a 200-year-old vampire.
Why was Shankshatra's abbot gunned down before giving evidence?
Two men shot him down. It's a mystery within a mystery within a mystery.
Listen now to this untold true crime story from Adam Shand. The Trials of the Vampire at podcastone.com.au or download the app.
Get Ruined Dits for Breakfast weekdays from 6 or subscribe to Ruined Dits for Breakfast catch-up at triplem.com.au.
Oh, hello, good morning on this Friday. Alana, how are you?
Very well, Gleeso. How are you doing?
I'm Dits, yeah. How you going? No, that's right, Jill. No problem.
I'm an autopilot.
Yeah, how are you, Gleeso?
I'm very well, thanks.
Good. It's Friday the 13th.
Good
Weird,
start.
Wacky things do happen.
Yes. Friday the 13th.
Are you superstitious?
Just researching the origins of Friday the 13th. No one knows why it's a spooky day, but it dates all the way back to 1307. When Philip IV of France arrested hundreds of the Knights Templar and killed them.
Oh, there you go. Philip IV.
Jeepers.
I thought it was the third, but you know, got yeah, thanks
That's
for saying
right,
that.
No, he was the one before.
He was the one before. Thanks. Yeah.
Right. Gleeso, mistake to make.
Gleeso, you've got a big gig tonight, haven't you?
I have indeed. The Thebe, we had a bit of a warm-up last night at the Manly Golf Club in Sydney, of all places.
Manly Golf Club?
Yeah, we do a thing. The Angels do a thing there every year for... organisation called Aspect, which raises money for and looks after children with, those Aspect, Asperger's, etc.
Right.
And autism. And we do it every year, just set up on the floor of the golf club and punch out a few Angel songs. The crowd seems to love it.
So what was yesterday, Thursday? So the 80-year-old bloke's coming off the 18th going, what is that racket in there? What is going on?
No, they cleared the golf course for the clientele.
It was a good day in Sydney yesterday, wasn't it? Did you get
it
in the water?
It was lovely at near Manly, and there's another one, another cracker today.
So tonight at the Thebe, fantastic. And you're with the MySex tonight as well.
Yes, indeed. They've got a new lease of life, those guys. Steve Balby, former bass player out of Noiseworks, he's out front. And he's an absolute firecracker of a front man. So they're really worth getting along to see. It's a bit of a slice of the 1980s, I think, with MySex and the Angels on the same bill.
Computer games?
Yeah, computer games, graffiti crimes.
Right.
Tell Myself It's Just a Blue Day, which is an absolute ball tear
That's
of a song.
That's a great song, yeah.
Plenty of songs.
All right, big night at the Thebe tonight. Alana, a couple of massive names on the show this morning.
Yeah, that's right. We'll be kicking off with Collingwood's Scott Pendlebury. Of course, he's been named in the international rules squad. We're hosting a game here in Adelaide on Sunday the 12th
Taking
of
on the
Irish. November. So, yeah, we'll catch up with him and find out all things international rules, as well as what he's been up to in the start of the off season for Collingwood.
All right, and a great South Australian will join us, David Hayes, as well. A $10 million race. Can you believe that over the weekend?
Everest. So he's obviously training horse in that race. We'll find out a bit about it and who's going to take home that massive check.
All right, off and running on this Friday morning here on Triple M with Alana and Gleeso.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
7:23, Ruined It's here on Triple M. Roos joining us again on Monday. He's having a couple of weeks off. Alana and Gleeso filling in this week. Now, guys, imagine having a horse in a $10 million race. Can you believe it? Our next guest is actually training three runners in the Everest tomorrow. We're talking about our very own. I say our very own. He trains out of Melbourne these days, but David Hayes will always, always be a South Australian. Hazy, good morning.
I'm a definite crow. So.
Good on you, mate. Well done, well done. Now, three runners in this big, big race tomorrow. Gee, to have one, as I said, would be enormous. You've got three out there. What are your chances?
One of them's, I think, equal favourite, and another one's sort of under 10 to 1, and then a long shot. So very happy they've all arrived in Sydney in great shape, and we're pretty confident they're going to perform well.
Mate, you won the new market with Redkirk Warrior. He's this is probably going to put the mockers on it, but he's who I'm getting behind. What how's he looking shaping up?
Oh, you're a good judge. he's got a good barrier. He's a last start winner, and he's the only horse to win the new market first up in 100 years. So.
Gee.
You've got a good horse there. The stable mate's very good as well, Vega Magic. So I think if you back one and save on the other, you won't be far away.
There you go. Awesome.
David, She Will Reign, obviously Golden Slipper winner, getting plenty of support from the punters. Chautauqua seems to be another one of the horses to beat. How hard is it to get a read on this field?
It's a genuine... normally in races, horses, there's other races you're going for. But being $10 million, everyone's really sharpened their pencils and tried to have their horses peaking on the day, as we have. So every horse is really at their best, and that doesn't happen often. A Melbourne Cup sometimes, or a Cox Plate.
Mm-hmm.
And this Everest is, for sprinters, as good a race as you can get. It's worth like 40% more than a Melbourne Cup. So by dollars, it's fantastic.
Amazing. How do you go with the jockeys? Now, you've got three horses, and obviously your best jockey, your number one jockey, wants the best horse. How do they go arguing and putting their case forward with you about which horse they want to get?
Yeah, it was interesting. Craig Williams has won two Group 1s on Vega Magic, and Ollie got on him. He won a race from Perth, and it's a Perth-owned horse. And then, unfortunately, Ollie had to stick with the Lloyd Williams horse in Melbourne on this day. And Craig got back on him, so he's been a very good horse for Craig. Yeah, but the jockeys, they do jostle for the rides. And you just pick the jockey that you think is best suited to your horse.
Yeah. Now, am I right in saying that the owners had to come up with $600,000 to nominate for this race? Is that correct?
Yeah, the slot holder has guaranteed... $600,000 for 3 years in a row.
Gee.
And that means they can run their best horse, any horse they want in the race. So logically what they do, if they haven't got a horse they think can win, they go and do a deal with someone who's got a horse and borrow the horse for the day.
Right.
And they do a deal 50-50 or there's all sorts of deals going on.
I'll bet, yeah.
And it's a really interesting scenario. So my two of my three horses are owned by people who are sharing with the slot holder.
Right. Okay, well, that's different. We haven't seen that sort of concept before. Now, Hazy, yeah. Did you get to go to see the Crows on grand final day?
Oh, it's the longest day of my life.
Oh yeah.
Shocker. And in amongst all those tigers in the stand, it was a long day.
It sure was. David, there's been a massive PR push around this race. Front page ads, Sky Riders all over Sydney. There's only two richer races in the world, and I'm reading that it's all in an effort to get Sydney racing on par or to rival the Spring Carnival in Melbourne. Can you see that ever happening? Is all the attention and focus that this race is getting likely to do that?
Look, the problem in Sydney, they don't get the crowds to the races, so there'll be 35,000 here this weekend, which is terrific, but in Melbourne for probably six of the weeks in a row they have a minimum of 30,000 and often 100,000 at the races.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I don't know, they don't have as many go to the footy as Adelaide or Melbourne. They're just not as sporting orientated. I think their beaches are too good.
Sydney's the arty-farty town.
They're spoilt for choice. Yeah, that's the other thing.
Yeah. David, thanks so much for joining us, mate. Good luck in the big $10 million race. And I know it's a big race day in Melbourne, of course, tomorrow. So you've got plenty of chances everywhere, mate. Thanks so much for taking our call and have a great weekend. Good luck.
Hope it works out better than grand final day.
Yeah. Good on you. There he is, David Hayes. What a champion. And what
a
day.
Legend.
And Alana, you know, people listening think, oh, it's all about horse racing. I'm not really into it. But to me, it's an event. You know, I Spring Carnival every year, it's about socialising as well. It's more than horse racing.
Absolutely. For one horse, the winner, to be taken home $5.8 million.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you watch? It's
exactly.
It's massive.
Yeah, there you go. Alana and Gleeso here on Triple M.
Ruined Tits for breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
It's 7:38 on this Friday morning, Friday the 13th. Whoa, spooky. What is making news around the place, Alana?
Dits, you've got to worry when you look over at your board and it says hot kangaroos.
Hot kangaroo, right.
Where do we go with this?
Yeah.
But there is a pretty incredible image doing the rounds of what's being termed the bodybuilder kangaroo.
Mm.
This kangaroo is from the Margaret River. It's been spotted by a gardener, I think. And it is seriously beefed up, kangaroo. It
biceps.
Looks like a racehorse. It's amazing.
It's well built for sure. Talk about the boxing kangaroo.
Gleeso, did it catch your eye?
No, Gleeso's talking to someone else at the moment.
Okay. Right, obviously not.
We'll chat amongst ourselves.
The hot kangaroo. But, yeah, it's very, very impressive. It's clearly been working out. I'm not sure what it's been doing in the Margaret River, but whatever it's doing is working.
Mm, you'll see it in the paper today. It's a stunning photo. It really is.
The other kangaroos need to
I was watching. There's something else in the paper today that caught our eye about phone apps. I can't even remember what I was watching the other night because when you get up early every day, your mind, you know, wanders. But someone was saying the other night, there are
You at lunch for like 12 hours
I did have lunch yesterday. All right, so my mind wandered after lunch. No, 1.5 million apps there are in the world today on your phone. And what they're basically saying, the experts are saying, that means that there are that has replaced 1.5 million things that you would have purchased off the shelf.
Yeah, it's remarkable, isn't it?
Yeah, and they're saying within 5 years it'll be 5 million. So imagine, I'm talking productivity in the world and whatever, 5 million things that will no longer be manufactured because you'll get it on your phone.
Yeah, changing industry. There's a really good photographic representation of this in today's paper. We've got one little smartphone that fits in the palm of your hand and 50 items that it easily replaces that would all, if you had to carry them around together, it would weigh 34 kilos, really weigh down in your bag, like things like a camera and books and calculators, torch. Did you used to carry a torch with you?
Only when I'm burgling, you know, houses and things. No, I don't normally carry a torch around, but if you needed one, DVDs, CDs, all sorts of things that you would normally have to go and purchase or carry that are now on your phone. It's extraordinary, isn't it?
Gleeso, have we got you back?
No. Nah, we've lost
Still brushed us. That's all right. I wonder what Gleeso's favourite apps are.
Go on.
It's a dangerous question.
Yeah. And now the other thing making news around the place, across the Dutch, the Kiwis are taking the absolute piss out of us, would you believe, about this same-sex marriage vote. Because you've been able to get married there for a long time, I think, haven't you?
Yeah, they're pretty progressive over there, aren't they?
Yeah, a lot of our gay and lesbian folk head to New Zealand to get hitched because you can do it over there. And their equivalent of The Project on Channel 10 put together this little piece.
Oh, hi, Australia. This is New Zealand. It's come to our attention that you're deciding whether to legalise gay marriage right now. And as your friend, we'd like to take a moment to urge you not to make the same mistake we did. Please, please vote no to same-sex marriage. Here in New Zealand, our government voted for marriage equality back in 2013. Many of us were horrified. We predicted that gay marriage would be a slippery slope, and we were right. It started with men marrying men and ladies marrying ladies. Then before we knew it, we were seeing dogs marry cats. Cats marry birds. Birds marry dogs and babies marry babies. We predicted that same-sex marriage would increase crime. Again, we were right. Just a couple of years after the vote, New Zealand had to deal with hundreds of new criminals. Sure, most of them were sent back to us on planes from Australia, but still, here in New Zealand, many predicted that marriage equality would destroy the church. And once again, they were right. This is the Christchurch Cathedral before the gay marriage vote. This is it directly afterwards. You should have seen New Zealand before gay marriage. It was perfect.
Just take the Mickey out of Australia, fair enough. And look, just if I could return serve, could they all please go back to school and learn A-E-I-O-U? Do you reckon they could just run through that before they start having a crack at us?
I know, but they make a fair point, don't you think?
Yeah, they do. That's what's making news.
People's lives.
That's what's making news around the place. Coming up shortly, Lawrence Mooney here on Triple M with Alana and Gleeso.
Ruined dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
I'm going to come right out and say it. My favourite funny man in the country, possibly the world, is the Moon Man.
I think it would have been funny if you had said somebody else, right?
Oh, sorry. Who have we got? Hey, Lawrence, how you going, mate?
Don't you mean Adam Hills?
Same to me.
I'm in a little bit of trouble because I went on a writer's retreat. That's right. I went to Albury with a mate of mine on a writer's retreat. It's like, oh, yeah, why are you guys sleeping in the same bed? No, it was a writer's retreat.
Brokeback Mountain.
It got totally broke back. What we did is we went to the bottle shop. I don't know whether there was a lot of writing done, but there was a bit of drunk texting. And, I decided to settle some grudges under the auspices of a couple of really cheeky reds from the King Valley. And now I've got to do some apologising and some explaining. But on settling grudges, I think it's a good thing to do to let a grudge go. And I'm going to let one go this morning on Triple M. I've been harbouring this one for 17 years.
Wow, it's awesome. Quite a grudge.
Yeah, quite. I can really nurture a grudge. I can really hothouse it and bring it on. No, I was on the Denise show in 1999-2000, Denise Drysdale, and I was going to go through to 2001, and then they said they just pulled the pin, and Denise rang me up. She didn't have to tell me this. She goes, oh, listen, they tried to reduce my wages, and I refused, so you've got to go.
That's brutal.
Brutal. But it's like, oh, yeah, no worries. And then just went, oh, what?
Yeah. So did she get a text from Albury?
No, she didn't. I haven't got her number, Alana. That's why I'm putting the call out there. I love you, Ding Dong, and I'm letting it go.
Awesome. You're a bigger man than I thought.
Yeah, that's right. It's only taken me 17 years.
But you've moved on to bigger and better things, haven't you? Mm. Now, as well as the trip to Albury, I understand you've attended a Labor fundraiser.
Yes, Malcolm Turnbull's getting a little bit more work than Lawrence at the moment. So, hey, if you want me to give out Liberal hand of vote cards at the next election, because he's educating my family, but I'd go and do Malcolm Turnbull, and the Labor Party loved me coming along as Malcolm Turnbull, because, you know, I'm taking the P155 out of the guy, and but some people in the audience always cross the line, and all of a sudden they are seeing Malcolm Turnbull,
yep.
And they just yell out, you know, F you, Turnbull. It's like, whoa. You're suspending your disbelief too much there, buddy.
Must mean you're doing it too well.
You've broken through the fourth wall.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, that's right. It's touching something deep inside them. It's some little trigger warning, and there's a visceral reaction. It's hilarious, and it happened last night. A couple of beers, and this guy yelled out, well, I can't say exactly what he said because it's defamatory. But it was something to do with Malcolm's past and what he may have done to something or someone.
Now, Lawrence, as you leave us, what do you got coming up this weekend?
I'm still lost for ideas on weekends. I mean, really, when there's football, when there's not football, what is there?
Yeah,
there's
nothing.
Family.
I agree.
There is nothing. There's a big void. I'm actually, I'm taking like literally that I was at the Adelaide Festival with on the road. So I'm off to New South Wales today, Camden tonight, and then the Gong tomorrow. Wollongong.
Awesome.
Bring it.
Good on you, Lawrence. Enjoy Wollongong. We'll talk to you next week.
See you, love you guys. Triple M Rock.
Yeah. There you go. Lawrence the Moon Man. Hey, in a moment, money music. You can win $1,500. But I want you to think about this one, Alana. Are you a big Vegemite fan?
I don't mind. Bit of veggie.
I love it. See, they've brought out this new. I only just caught up with this morning. I don't know where I've been, but what's it called? Version 17 or something? Vegemite 17. There's a new Vegemite out.
It's like software updates, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like what they're doing with Coke at the moment. Diet Coke and no sugar Coke and
the stronger
zero
taste,
Coke.
Isn't it meant
stronger
to have?
Stronger taste.
I think I'd put more salt in Vegemite. It if I could.
How could it get any stronger? Anyway, I want your best Vegemite ideas in just a moment.
Hi, I'm Mark Boris. Every single day in Australia, people are busting their guts and starting and running their own businesses. It's a big deal. 60% of Australians are hired by small to medium-sized business owners. These guys are doing their bit, buying stock, hiring people, and paying their taxes. So what is it like to start your own business? How do you go from just running a business on the side after work to owning something much bigger? How do you make it your future? Join me on The Mentor, a weekly show on Podcast One where I speak to Aussie business owners who are working through just that. I find out what makes them tick. I help them work out their next steps for their growth and for their future.
The Mentor with Mark Burris. Listen now at podcastone.com.au or download the Podcast One app.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
Ruined Dits on Triple M. This week it's Alana and Galiso. Now you'd both be little Vegemites, wouldn't you, little Vegemite kids?
You bet. I love it. I'm one of those guys who's been to America and tried to make Americans eat Vegemite.
Yeah,
When they say, I don't like it, I say, good, more for me.
Yeah, correct. I had to live overseas for a long, long time, and we always, always packed Vegemite, took it everywhere with us, had to have it every morning. But they've brought out a new one. It's called Blend 17. Do we know anything about this? Why would you have to change Vegemite?
I don't know why you need to change it. Is it just a marketing stunt? Is it that different?
Must be.
Let's not forget... Vegemite 2.0, how successful that was.
I don't remember that. What was that?
See that? Yeah. Well, what
sounds
they did,
like
they...
a really long time ago for up to 17.
Well, yeah, that was... that's right.
Well, what they did was they put out a thing. They made a cheesy Vegemite, and my understanding is they weren't able to use cheesy mite because one of those bakery places already has a cheesy mite scroll. So they had put out a thing saying, "What are we going to call this new Vegemite?" And not only did the name not stick, the actual product didn't stick either. It's Vegemite. You can't mess with the formula.
Well, here you go. Vegemite Blend 17 is it's the premium limited edition. It's gold.
Wow.
It's not yellow. The packaging.
Whoa. Gee.
Wow.
Mm. All right.
It's got more vitamins in it, apparently.
Is it really a byproduct? Mm. Is it really a byproduct?
It costs $7. More than double that of a traditional jar.
Mm. Whoa. Yeah, it's meant to be yeast extract. So it is related to beer in some way.
Yeah, well, I think that's some way that that Vegemite had the monopoly on all the yeast extract that they were collecting from the breweries to make Vegemite, and that's what Dickie Mite. What was Dick Smith's Vegemite called?
Dickie Mite.
Probably wasn't called that.
I could see why that didn't work.
Dick Smith's Vegemite.
But it's very useful, not just for your Vegemite on toast. People use it in cooking. And
this is my question to you. Yeah. So say, give me your favourite. Now, can I just share you? This is my little hangover recipe. Not that I'm hungover that often, but if ever the need arises, Gleeso, you've got to get, you have toast, got to have butter on it. I then put Vegemite on it. I then put a slice of cheese on top of that. And then canned spaghetti on top of that.
Oh, yeah.
That is, it's magnificent. No,
you
seriously.
You had me do a canned spaghetti. I was going on tomato.
Any sort of pasta, actually, any spaghetti on toast like that, put Vegemite on it, on the toast. Unbelievable.
Yeah, Vegemite and avocado?
Good. Yeah.
People eat that.
Yeah.
I eat Vegemite and tomato. That's my one.
Yeah,
on
that's good as well.
On toast.
So you can have it with anything.
Yeah.
Really?
No. I want to find like it with butter.
That's it. All right, I want to find out more. Give us your favourite use for Vegemite, please. Hey, we've got, I'll tell you what, you can have a choice. You can either go to the Supercross Championships at Adelaide Motorsport Park later on this month, Saturday 28th of October, or we'll send you off to the Hotter Than Hell Festival featuring Grinspoon. 133353, how do you use Vegemite? Give us your favourite. Or Dickie Mite. either or. Sounds like... No, I won't.
I think you're inviting just
133353. Tell us about your Vegemite.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Oh, at 8:15, how do you use your Vegemite? Mel the button pusher. What do you do with yours?
Spag bowl.
Really?
You've got to put a good, decent, heaped teaspoon in your spag bowl. It gives it a nice thickness and adds saltiness, which is important.
Yeah.
It's very little in my pantry that doesn't go in spag bowl, to tell you.
Everything
the truth.
Goes in.
Bit of worcestery, tomato, barley.
All right.
Yeah.
I like it. Wow. All right, Alana, who have you got on the blower there?
All right, we've got Brett from Semaphore Park. What are you doing with Vegemite?
G'day, guys. How you going this morning?
Yeah, good, thanks.
Mate, living overseas for the last 10 years, the same as you, Dits. Vegemite is an important and very staple part of our diet. Yep. Vegemite broth, handed down for generations. It's basically a crouton bread in a bowl with some boiling water, teaspoon of Vegemite and teaspoon of butter, and you're away.
And that's it?
Wow. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
And it tastes good.
So the bread just sort of absorbs... The bread
absorbs, but if you do the croutons right, it stays crunchy.
Okay.
Wow. Leftover crusts are always handy.
Nice. All right, we'll give it a go. Brett, thanks for that.
Vegemite
gourmet
soup.
Uses for Vegemite.
Yes.
Kathy at Hallett Cove, what do you do with Vegemite?
Oh, good morning. The first caller kind of stole my thunder with that one. Very similar thing, a really nice heaped teaspoon of Vegemite in boiling water, and once it's all dissolved, makes a really refreshing hot drink.
Really? Just water and Vegemite?
Yes, beautiful. Try it.
Wow. Now,
sounds
that just
like a...
meals on a budget.
It's a mug full of salt, surely. Anyway, look, I'm going to give it a go.
Because they have those drinks, Bonox and Bovril.
Sounds like
it's that taste.
Let's go to Dino at Parry Hills. How are you, Dino?
I'm well. How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks.
Thank you.
That's good. When we were kids and Danny Jenkins used to deliver our bread from Tip Top, we used to get the beautiful fresh white bread, Vegemite, cheese and lettuce sandwiches. The best.
Veggie, cheese and lettuce, you say?
I like that combination myself. On the white bread, it's that's the thing. The white bread's the big thing, isn't it?
Mm. All right. Good on you, Dino.
Who all right, let's go to Brooke from Smithfield. Brooke, what's your Vegemite tip?
Hey, good morning. I use it with braised steak and onions, all in the slow cooker, chuck it in, beautiful.
So braised steak and onions?
Yeah.
In a slow
any
cooker?
Any meat, casserole, ever.
All right, how much do you put in? What, big tablespoon?
Generally just a teaspoon.
All right, teaspoon, beautiful. No worries. All right, thanks, Brooke. Let's go to Josh. G'day, Josh.
There you go.
Yeah, good, thanks. What do you do with your Vegemite?
You've got a couple of options. First one is Vegemite with Smith's chicken chips.
Right.
What, like you're just getting the chip out of the bag and dipping it in the Vegemite?
No, you put it in a sandwich.
Oh, in a sandwich.
With
right.
chips?
With chips.
Right, okay. This option is gourmet. Two. Yeah, righto, option two. We got more. Righto, what else?
Option two. Vegemite with Arnott's pizza shapes.
we've got to come around to your place for dinner. Seriously, this is fantastic.
Don't worry, it gets worse.
Righto, what else have you got?
You ready?
Yeah.
Vegemite, peanut butter, cheese.
No, it's Vegemite or Josh, peanut butter. I think there's a line.
Quit
there.
While you're ahead there, Josh. All right, who you got, Alana?
How about Jake from Huntfield Heights? Morning to you. What are you adding Vegemite to?
G'day, guys. I have my Vegemite on Weet-Bix.
On Weet-Bix?
Oh, with milk?
Yeah, so you have a dry piece of Weet-Bix and smear it with Vegemite and put a slice of cheese on top.
Now, speaking of dry, that would be as dry as a chip. How do you swallow it? How do you chew it?
Well, the thing is, you can't take a big mouthful, so you just have smaller mouthfuls, and if you want to get really fancy, you can chuck it under the grill for 2 minutes and have melted cheese as well.
Right. I'm actually sorry we asked for these calls
now. So the Weet-Bix is like a bread substitute. Mm.
One more that's come to my mind, celery. I like to get a stick of celery and stick that in the Vegemite jar and chew that.
All right. I've heard enough now.
We've got to send snack,
someone
Lisa.
We'll send off to the Supercross Championships. Now, who did you like, Alana?
Not the last two.
Righto. All right. They've missed out badly. I'll tell you what, we'll go to Brett of Semaphore Park. He gave us the broth, which sounds quite healthy, actually. Brett, you can go off to the Supercross Championships at Adelaide Motorsport Park, and we can send someone off to the Hotter Than Hell Festival as well to go and see Grinspoon. I'll tell you what, Jake from Huntfield Heights will send you off to see Grinspoon. There you go. Ruined Dits on Triple M with Alana and Gleeso all week.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7. Triple M.
Rue is back on Monday morning. All this week, we've had Alana and Gleeso filling in. Alana, International Rules is on its way.
Yeah, that's right. The squad was announced yesterday. And here in Adelaide, we're lucky enough to be hosting a game on Sunday, November 12th. And joining us now is a member of the side, Scott Pendlebury. Good morning to you.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Good to have you. Now, congratulations on being named. What can you tell us about being part of the International Rules squad and what you've got to look forward to in November?
Yeah, I suppose for me a big reason why I want to be a part of it is firstly to represent your country, something that we don't get to do in our game that often. So the last few times International Rules has been on, I've been really keen to play, just injuries haven't allowed me to. And I suppose the second reason is the quality of the side that has been named and some of the guys that you go head-to-head against on the weekend. Now it's time to join forces and play together, which really excites me.
Scott, it's really interesting when we look at our players that we know here in Australia that we know and love every weekend, and you're all fit and big and strong lads. And then the Irish arrive and they always look so little and pale and spindly. And yet, geez, they're athletic, aren't they? They can run, they're quick, and they take it right up to us every single time.
Yeah, they do. And I think because their game is constant movement, they don't have marks or anything like what we've got. So you've got to be quick, and they all seem to be really fast and have that great endurance base. So I suppose that's why so many of our recruiters head overseas and watch their game and try and find that, you know, that hidden talent over there that can transfer into our game. So it's always an exciting series. They are, you know, as you mentioned, very quick and nippy. But just looking through our side yesterday, we've got a pretty small side as well to probably match their ability to run and you know, change directions and those type of things.
We talk about the wealth of talent in the Aussie side. How quickly can that group, all obviously coming from different clubs, come together and play as one unit?
Yeah, we head into camp on the, I think it's the 6th or 7th of November. So obviously spend, you know, a full week together before the match starts. And then anytime you pull on the Australian jumper, you know, guys are going to play really hard for it. And and try and do the best we can. And, you know, I think we'll gel really good. We've got a group there that will be really selfless and give everything to the team. So, you know, as I said earlier, I'm really looking forward to meet the guys and play together and also meet and be a part of a fantastic coaching group.
Now, Scott, can I just ask you about Collingwood for a moment? You've stolen Gary Hocking. We had him over here coaching South Adelaide, the mighty Panthers. And our producer who you spoke to, Alice, her boyfriend plays at South Adelaide. They're distraught. You've taken their coach.
Yeah, I've seen that. I think it got announced yesterday. I'd been away over in China for a few days, so I was off the grid and got back yesterday. So, you know, even just having a read through his CV and he's coached his own side a few times and he's been around, you know, really successful programs. So I'm sure the guys over there are distraught that they've lost him and we're ecstatic that we've got him.
Well, I think he's going to be in charge of clearances. And I'll tell you what, if you just look at any video of him playing the game, he could clear the ball. I'll tell you what, he was ferocious at getting the footy. So I'm sure he'll pass on some of that great knowledge. Now, what were you doing in China? What were you doing over there?
Yeah, I was over there. There was an NBA game on. So I was lucky enough to be invited over with the through the NBA and went over there and watched Golden State versus Minnesota. Yeah, it was a really good experience that I was fortunate to be a part of.
Brilliant. All right. Scott, thanks for talking to us, mate. Good luck with the Australian rules, and we look forward to seeing it here in Adelaide in November. The other game's in Perth as well. Good luck when you take on the Irish.
Yeah, appreciate that. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Thanks, Scott.
Good on you. Well done. Scott Pendlebury. Gleeso and Alana, over the years, we've had some real good Irishmen come out and play there. I mean, Ty Kinnelly really, you know, comes to mind for me straight away.
The
what
Irish
a player.
Jig.
Yeah, the Irish jig, that's
yeah,
right.
That was so good. Yeah, so obviously last time we played them was 2015 at Croy Park and they won and they have generally had the wood over us. Do you get the sense they take it a bit more seriously than we do?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. We pick an All-Australian team, yet we don't actually put that All-Australian team out there. A lot of blokes sort of say, oh, I want to have some time off or whatever. I always find that when it's a trip to Ireland, everyone says, yeah, I'm available. Yeah. No, I can. And then when it's, oh, you're playing in Adelaide. Oh, Perth.
I'm on
Didn't they a few years ago have to tell everyone to ace it up a bit? Wasn't it getting a bit heavy-handed over there?
Gary McIntosh, and Macca might be listening this morning. We love Macca. But he was frightful. He went out and belted the absolute hell out of them. And in the end, they said, hang on, what's going on? He mowed them down. It was unbelievable. And they did. They had a meeting of the officials and said, look, can we just tone things down a little bit, please? Our poor little
You're
Irish
up the boys.
Yeah. But so anyway, look forward to that coming in November.
Get Ruin Dits for Breakfast, weekdays from 6, or subscribe to Ruin Dits for Breakfast catch-up at triplem.com.au.